Blog Talk Radio.
Transforming your life. Day 18 of my 30-day challenge. More than halfway there. We have 12 days to go after this show. I am excited and still energized after 18 days, and that's over, let's see, I've done over 180 radio hours in the last 18 days. That's like so cool to me. That's a commitment which I'm thankful that I was able to make because of the school program that I'm in. And I was really reluctant to get back on the air because it takes a lot of time to plan a show and then to bring it out to you guys. And my big goal in my life right now, in the second part of my life, is to have fun. And I felt like it was interfering with my fun because it would be, I was trying to do a show at night, because if you guys have listened to me in the past, my show was usually at night, and it was 7 o'clock at night on, what night was I on originally? I think it was on Wednesday nights, but then my school schedule interfered, and then I couldn't find a night consistently every week where I could be on the air, and I did not want to be on during the day. But I'm finding that with this 30-day challenge, you know, made me just sit down and pick a day and a time and say, you know what, no matter what comes up, I'm committed to this and I'm going to do it. And so a couple of days I have had to pre-record shows and upload them because I have had other commitments that I had to follow through on, but I still have, you know, followed through on my commitment, and I feel really good about that. So what is it in your life that you've been wanting to do or trying to get done and just can't seem to get out and do it? If you have something in your life, hold on, I gotta let the dog out. Let him out of the room. If you have something in your life that you've been trying to commit to and just can't seem to take that step, that very first step to do it, why not start your own 30-day challenge? And the key with the 30-day challenge, just like, you know, so many people make New Year's resolutions, more often than not, those New Year's resolutions fall flat within the first couple of weeks, a month particularly, and that's because when you make a commitment, you have to really feel it in your body. When I said yes to my classmate that I was making a commitment to being on the radio for 30 days, I really felt it. So don't set yourself up for disappointment right from the start. Set yourself up for success. So if you want to set up your own 30-day challenge and start that, first of all, get someone who you're accountable to who will check in with you to see if you are, you know, following through with your commitment that you have made. And so pick something that you can really feel good about, something that you can feel in your body that it is the right thing to do. So it may be that you want to quit smoking or you want to have more healthy eating, and you just take one day at a time. So you make the commitment, like I have set up my calendar from the first day of my 30-day challenge to be on the air, and I set the calendar up that first day for the whole 30 days. That way it was in my calendar. That, to me, sort of solidified the commitment. I'm doing this. So put it on your calendar. And I have not just at the begin and the end, the radio show on the calendar, I have it marked on every single day. And, excuse me, you can, you know, so many of us now use online calendars or calendars on our phones or computers. So you can even set your calendar to automatically plug it in for the next 30 days, whatever day you start your 30-day challenge. And you can set a reminder in your phone to say, hey, remind me at this time every day about my 30-day challenge. And then that will keep it active in your mind, and you'll have a better chance of being successful in doing that by getting those little reminders every day, and also by having support and have someone you're accountable to really is helpful. And it's really key, because we can tend to sort of fall off if we don't have someone who we're accountable to. Not everyone. There are a few people out there who can make a commitment and stick to it. People really need a little bit of assistance or encouragement on that end. Which reminds me, I need to get in touch with my classmate who is accountable to me for her 30-day challenge, because I haven't heard from her in over a week. And maybe you want to do this with a friend. So maybe there's something that a friend that has been trying to to accomplish, and you know, you're aware of that. And so maybe you'll go to your friend and say, hey, look, I want to do this 30-day challenge, and I know that you have really wanted to do this in your life. So how about we hold each other accountable and we make this a tag team? So we're both going through it, and we're going through it together. I picked a really nice card for the day. I often will pick a tarot card for to set, see what the tone is set for my day. And I picked the Ten of Cups, which is such a nice card. It's about harmony, everything coming together, you know, and having just a wonderful sort of life and day. It can also be the card that is about crossing over, which is interesting that I picked that card today because I have a group of people who I am going to be talking with tonight and delivering messages from spirit. And that often includes not just personal messages for what's going on their in their life currently, but messages from their loved ones who are past. So it was the perfect card to come up for me today because I do, and I do feel very harmonious in my life at this current moment. And just a week ago, I didn't. And the shift for me has been very, very prolific and interesting because I woke up a Sunday morning like this and I realized that, and if you've listened to the show the last week, you've heard me mention this, I realized that I was making choices that weren't maybe the best choices for me in each moment. And the way that you make choices in the moment and what you choose sets up your not only your day, but it sets up your future. And since I lost my brother, something happened in me that I can't really explain. But for the first 6 months, it's a complete daze. I don't recall most of the first 6 months. And I was in such shock about the whole thing. And then once I started becoming aware again of, you know, just even getting a cup of coffee in the morning, there was a shift that happened, and I sort of had this feeling that I really can't put it into words. It's a feeling that is so hard to describe, but I got a little jaded, I guess is a good word to say, and jaded in the sense that I didn't have the things that I wanted in my life, and that life can just be gone in a second. And rather than really appreciating the things that I did have, I was focusing on what I didn't have. And it really put me into a negative headspace. And I'm so thankful that Sunday morning when I woke up with a different perspective and a realization in my life that that is really the space that I have been in for quite some time. And so maybe this has happened to you, or maybe you're in that headspace where you're focusing on what you don't have in your life. And there are reasons for it, you know, like if there was something tragic in your life that happened and you realize all the things that you haven't done that you wanted to do, and maybe some of those things you that were on your bucket list that you wanted to do in your life, you know now that for whatever reason, you'll never be able to do those things. Maybe you have a physical ailment and you wanted to climb Machu Picchu. And you know that, you know, you won't be able to do that any longer. So I really encourage you to start focusing on the things that you do want in your life rather than the things that are missing in your life. And focus on the things that are good in your life right now. I've had people in the past call into the show, or people contact me personally and say, there's nothing good in my life right now. And by the time we are finished with our conversation, we can find multiple things that are good in their life right now. And I've talked to thousands of people, tens of thousands of people at this point, and worked with thousands and thousands of people on a one-to-one basis and in group on a group basis and here on the radio in the gosh, I think my first show was I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. I've ta like I said, I've talked and worked with thousands and thousands of people at this point, and we can always find something that they can be grateful for in their life. And remember, what you focus on is what energy expands in your life. And if you're focusing on what you don't have in your life, guess what happens? You get more of what you don't have. That's just the law of the universe. Some people call it the law of attraction. It's the same thing, interchangeable phrases there. And, like attracts like. And not only does like attract like, but you get an extra 10% interest on whatever you're attracting, whatever you put out and you attract to you, you're getting an extra 10% of that. So if you're somebody who's a chronic complainer, who has a negative spin on things, somebody who tends to look for the negative instead of the positive in every situation, or not even every situation, but a lot of situations, guess what? The universe is going to be happy to give you more situations to complain about and more situations to be negative about. That's just facts and how the universe works. So, what is it that you want in your life? Clearly, if you have a negative pleasure of being a complainer, then you want to take a good look at that and evaluate if you do, in fact, have the negative pleasure of being a complainer. We all have negative pleasures in our life, and a negative pleasure is just what it sounds like. It's something that we do that gives us satisfaction, even though it's negative. So you may have the negative pleasure of smoking cigarettes because you're getting some kind of pleasure out of it, even though you know that the overall everything that goes along with smoking cigarettes, you know that it's a negative thing. It affects your health, your body. It costs a lot of money that you could, be doing other things with it that could bring you fun in your life. But instead, you feed yourself with this negative pleasure. And a negative pleasure can be if you complain a lot, that's a negative pleasure. It's also, it doesn't have to just be a physical thing that if you drink alcohol every day or smoke or things like that, it's also how you are in your daily life. And there are lots of complainers out there. Just look on Facebook or social media. And there's a difference between rallying for a cause and complaining. So really be clear about that. And if you're not sure if you're a complainer, ask some of your closest friends who you trust that can deliver the message to you in a way that you can hear it. And don't take it personally when or if you get the answer and that they're being honest about. So let's see. I read a quote a little while ago that I kind of like. And I'm trying to find where it is now. Oh, here it is. This is by Valley Fox. You can never have enough of what you didn't want in the first place. I'm going to repeat that because I think it's really important for it to sink in. You can never have enough of what you didn't really want in the first place. So how much in your life do you have that you don't really want, that you didn't really want in the first place? Are you the collector of family heirlooms like I seem to be? And maybe you don't want those heirlooms, but yet you feel obligated to keep them and or guilty to get rid of them because they're family heirlooms. But they're cluttering up your space, or they're filling your attic or your garage, and it really, you know, kind of has this energy that brings you down. So if you have things like that in your life, I encourage you to make an honest evaluation and let it go. Just let it go. And starting with the physical objects in your life is the best and easiest place to start because you see results and you see the results immediately. Like if you clean out your kitchen cabinets or you clean out your garage or clean the clutter off your countertop, that's a really good thing to do. Like if you have stuff all over your countertop and you clean it off, you see the visible results immediately. So if you clean out a closet or a cabinet, those doors are always closed. And though you see the results as you're doing it, they're not in front of you all the time. Now, my counter always has stuff on it, and I'm always cleaning it because I'm in a four-bedroom. I wish I was in a four-bedroom. Now, I'm in a four-room house right now, and though the room's pretty good size, going from 7 rooms, a garage, an attic, and a full basement, to 4 rooms, no attic, no basement, and I do have a garage, was pretty kind of tricky. I had to get rid of a lot of stuff. And I still have more things that I can weed through. In fact, I just hauled off another big load of things to charity last week. And it feels really good to do that. So you can take your stuff and you can sell it, or you can take your stuff and you can donate it. And I like to donate things as much as I can because then oftentimes what will happen if you have things and you sell it, especially if you have an emotional attachment to it, say that you bought, I would never sell, but say you bought a Buddha statue when you were in Indonesia and you paid $1,000 for it, but yet you've moved, you don't have any place to put it anymore, you don't have any kids who want it, and so you've decided that, well, maybe I'll sell it. Maybe it's carved out of some expensive stone. So maybe you say you've paid $1,000 in Indonesian money. And so in the United States, it's more valuable. And you put it out there, you put it on eBay or Craigslist or whatever selling site that you put it out on. And you put it out for half of what you paid for it. And nobody bids on it. And then you leave it out there and then somebody bids on it, and they offer you a quarter of what you paid for it. Now you have this internal sensor that goes, oh my goodness, I paid all this money, and now the value is lessened than what I paid for it. So something gets triggered in your internal dialogue, and then you feel like that you've lost money very often, and that the piece is devalued somehow. That's not always the case, but oftentimes it is. If you can let go of a piece, for example, and I've used this example before, and this is Sonia Chiquette, where her sister had given her a an authentic Salvador Dali painting, which she hated, and it was a wedding present. And finally, after years of moving this thing around and still could never pass by it without cringing, she decided to sell it at a yard sale for $5, knowing fully that it was a Salvador Dali painting. And when the person who bought it could not believe their stroke of luck, they fell in love with the picture. And then when they said to her, you know, is this really a Salvador Dali? She said, yes. They couldn't believe their luck. But they fell in love with the picture before they, you know, knew if it was authentic or not. And she still sold it for $5. But because they loved it. And she was free of the chain of it. So going back about, are you the collector of family heirlooms, or does your family give you things that you really, that you don't like, but you're afraid to get rid of because you don't know how they'll react to it? And the best thing to do is just be honest. And she was honest with her sister. And she said to her sister, hey, remember that painting that you gave me for my wedding? And her sister's like, yeah. She says, well, I sold it at a yard sale for $5. And her sister thought it was wonderful because she hated the painting, and that's why she gave it to Sonia. So there you go. So be honest about it. If you're a collector of family stuff or gifts that people have given you that you really don't like, give them away. And so even though she charged $5 for it, that was a gift. That was a huge gift. So if you're selling things that you love, make sure that you are giving it out sort of as a gift to someone else. So if you're selling something that has a lot of value for a much reduced price, just put the intention out that whoever gets it is going to be able to have this beautiful item at a really great price that maybe they couldn't have afforded at all. And when you can take that sort of energy and attitude about it, it still retains its full value for you, and the person is getting full value from it, and maybe even bonus value, because perhaps they could have never had that piece of furniture or jewelry or whatever it is. And if you're not comfortable with selling things or don't want to take the time or so forth, find a charity that you love and gift it to the charity, because it's going to benefit them and it'll benefit you if you want to take a tax deduction on it. But it will, again, still retain its full value. So it's important when you do let go of things that you have that they remain in the value, so that you don't feel that somehow, you were unwise in buying it, that you spent all this money and it was a waste of money and now you're only getting this amount for it, because that's all negative and negative energy. When you can keep a positive spin on it and feel like that you're gifting it in a sense, when you are selling something at a very reduced price that has a high value, or any value, if you're selling something at a reduced price, selling a ring that you bought for $100 for $15, say, gift it with love and the attitude and the feeling of generosity. When you can do that, guess what you're going to get back? More generosity from the universe. And we all want that, right? We all want generosity in our lives. We all want good things in our life. You know, Wayne Dyer said, be generous when it's the hardest thing to be. Give when you don't have it to give. And if you go back and look at Wayne Dyer's story, he was in an orphanage for many years growing up, and he would share his lunch if the kid next to him didn't have lunch, even though he didn't really have a lot. So his motto was always, give when you don't have to give. Give when it is the hardest to give. And we all know what an abundant and amazing life he had, even from the start of his life. He chose to make his life about giving. And in giving, he received so many blessings. So if you don't have the means to financially give, then give of the heart. Listen to someone's story. Take a few minutes out of your day and be kind to another human. That's the biggest form of giving that we have to give. And it costs us nothing. But the value we receive in giving that, in giving the time, in giving compassion, even just for a moment, smile at a stranger, fills your heart and gives you a bigger gift in your life than any physical object could give you. Now, we do get pleasure from physical objects in our life, and they definitely make our lives much easier and more pleasurable. For example, the bathtub. It's been less than 100 years since basically every household has a bathtub in it, or even a bathroom. My grandparents' first home that they moved, it was a house that was existing, and they moved it across the bay back in those days in the 1940s. The bay where we live, the surrounding area, would freeze in the winter, and it would freeze very thick. And they brought the house over the bay by horse. The horses pulled this house over the bay. And they relocated it to the farm that they had until my grandfather passed away. And so it was a great way to take something that may have been knocked down and to reuse it. And they rehabbed it and they added to it and they made it what it needed to be for them. It was sort of like this little cottage. And they put a second floor on it and made it much bigger. But when they brought the house over, the house did not have a bathroom in it. And they dug the foundation. They poured the foundation themselves. They only made it half of a real foundation. The other half was dirt. They never finished digging it out. Because back in those days, a lot of things were done by hand. So they dug it out by hand. And they had the blocks or whatever, the stone for the foundation. And at some point, they poured a cement floor, but only half of the floor, because still the other half of the basement was not all the way completely dug out. And my grandfather couldn't stand up in the basement because it was only about, I don't know, maybe 5'5" in height. So I could stand up in it. And my grandmother could, but not my grandfather. So it was many years after they moved this house and they were living in it where they put an actual bathroom in. They had an outhouse for years. And in New England, in the wintertime, especially back in the 40s, when we still had really harsh winters here, an outhouse was not that convenient if you had 4 feet of snow, and it was 20 degrees, and the wind was blowing. But yet they did it, and they survived. And so be grateful for the things that you have in your life now that just seem like things that we all should have, and we take for granted. Because it was not that long ago that our ancestors didn't have these things, even electricity. telephones, running water. These are all things to be thankful for. And the more things you give gratitude for and be thankful in your life is the space that allows the universe to bring more things into your life for you to be grateful for. So really soak that in. So part of busting out and busting into your life is, this is an important key. So we've talked about in the last 18 days, looking at your shadow aspects. We've talked about looking at the vows you made as a child and as you grow up. We've talked about the goblins that are created in your life, or that little voice in your head. It's like having the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, and they're both talking in your ears. We've talked about all sorts of things in the last 18 days. They're all equally important. And as much as looking at the shadow side of things, it's equally important to look at the positive side of things. We've talked about choices and how you make them, particularly when challenges come up in your life. And to really be able to make good, solid choices when the big things come up in your life, it's really important to start recognizing that you make hundreds of choices a day about small things in your life. And oftentimes, it's a choice in just your attitude and how you're going to react to someone else. I love Don Miguel Ruiz's work, The Four Agreements. He also has the Fifth Agreement and The Mastery of Love. And all his work is so profound, and I often recommend to people who come to see me personally or who work with me, even long distance, because I do long distance coaching as well. I often recommend, depending on what's going on in their life, Don Miguel Ruiz's Four Agreements. And the way I recommend that they work with that is one agreement at a time. And so you pick one agreement in the book, and you don't have to go in order. And you work on that one agreement for 3 weeks to a month or so at least, and start to recognize how is working in your life. For example, one of the agreements is don't take anything personally. In my life, have taken things very personally. And when we take things personally, we often feel injured. We feel our hearts are injured. We feel like we're being attacked by others and so forth. And part of what goes on with don't take things personally is one of the other agreements, and that's not don't make assumptions. Because I can make assumptions like nobody's business. And you probably can and do too. And when we make assumptions and we take things personally, that's really a recipe for some tough feelings. That's a recipe for some hurt feelings. That's a recipe for setting things up in your life to have a life that does not look like what you want. So much better when we can start to recognize where we're taking things personally or how we're taking them personally, and to realize that every individual that comes into our lives, whether they've been in your life for all of your life, if it's a sibling or a family member or a partner or a spouse who's been there for a period of your life that's not your entire life, or someone who comes into your life for one brief conversation, it's really important to understand and know that every person gives us an opportunity to be a mirror for us, and that we project onto others what is really going on within ourselves. So I can say that recently I've been saying to my boyfriend, "You feel very prickly, like a porcupine." And I've had to stop and ask myself, am I feeling prickly right now? To be sure that it wasn't my prickliness that I was feeling. And sometimes the answer was yes, it was my prickliness. But for the last week, particularly since I've had this beautiful awakening Sunday morning, it's not my prickly. And so be really clear and ask yourself, am I feeling this or is this the other person? Because the other person can be a mirror for us, and we can also be projecting onto the other person. Or it may be truly that that person is feeling very prickly that day. Maybe they're trying to make a big decision in their lives that they're struggling with, and it's causing them anxiety. But that gives you an opportunity to perhaps open a dialogue with them and say, you're feeling really prickly. Is there something that we can talk about? Is there something maybe I can help you with? Or do you just need me to listen to whatever you have to say? That's a great opportunity to expand and really deepen a relationship and become intimate. What happens so often in relationships, as time goes on, we start to get nitpicky and naggy about the little things that maybe we saw or didn't see in the early days. And really, we have to take a look at how those things are about us and they're not about the other person at all. When we're feeling agitated or annoyed or something isn't quite right, we tend to pick on things. And it's really good to get a clear picture and clear understanding of where you are and why you're doing that. Because 99% of the time, it really doesn't have anything to do with the other person. It's all has to do with you, how you're perceiving things, if you're projecting out to that other person. Oftentimes, if you have, and I'll give you another great example, my boyfriend gives me lots of material, lots of things for me to work on personally as well. So, we both have houses that are a little bit small for us at the moment. And so our stuff doesn't quite fit nicely in the house, although we've both gotten rid of a lot of stuff in the last year, and we're still both working on that individually. So even though our kitchens are large, neither one of our kitchens are really well suited the way they're designed for us, and we tend to have a lot of stuff on the counters because the storage space isn't quite right, the shelves don't adjust, whatever. But the stuff doesn't fit in the storage that we have. And it's kind of funny because he has stuff all over his counters, but then, and that's okay, but then he comes to my house and he's always wanting to clean the counters or have me clean the counters. Counters he really needs to clean, but yet he comes to my house and he's aggravated by my counters. So it's kind of funny. So how are you projecting out? And how are you taking the things that aggravate you in your own life and projecting them onto other people? We do it all the time. I do it too. And I talk about these things that I do with you guys. And I have to laugh about it because if you take life too seriously, guess what? You just get more things to be serious about in your life. And we have tons of stuff to be serious about in our lives. So take these things that are small irritations or give you the opportunity to give you the choice to make them irritations or to just laugh about them and laugh about it. Because I have to say, I was getting irritated by it. And now I just laugh about it. I think it's kind of humorous. And it does, so I do clean off the counters occasionally, and I find that I clean them off more when I'm laughing about it. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I clean the counter all the time. You know, really take things and say, okay, do I really need this? Does this need to be here? I need to get some type of different organization to make this work out. Like, I just put a chest of drawers in the kitchen for my sewing things, because in my old house, I had a craft room, a sewing area, and I had all my sewing things in there. And that room was pretty much used for that. It was actually the formal dining room, but we never used the formal dining room for dining, except for on holidays. So on holidays, all the craft things would go away, and then we would eat in the formal dining room. And so the formal dining room was the craft room, and I had this massive, gorgeous, antique mahogany table that stretched out to be, I don't know, 8 or 10 feet long, and it was perfect for cutting out patterns and for having vision board classes and all sorts of wonderful things. And I don't have that space in this house, having only 4 rooms. So all my living space has to have dual purpose. So my small little area that I have a glass table for where we eat in the kitchen also has to be my craft area, my sewing area. And have you ever put a sewing machine on a glass table and tried to sew? Well, I'll tell you, that sewing machine ends up on the other side of the table in about 5 minutes flat, and you're constantly pulling it back towards you. So I thought, okay, but this is the space that I have to work with. And the little plastic drawers that I had that had a lot of all my patterns and sewing things in just wasn't working anymore, and it looked really messy in the kitchen. And my daughter had this chest of drawers that was my son's, and it's been around for, I don't know, 15 years or more. And she got another set of chest of drawers from my dad that was bigger. And it's been in the garage for 2 or 3 months, and she decided that she was going to refinish it, which was the intention to begin with. And so she sanded it and she painted it and she put it in her room and it looks lovely. And so we have this other set of chest of drawers that was smaller. And it's oak and it's beautiful. But, you know, from so many years of being moved around and it's gone from one room to another, I've used it after my son moved out. I had it in my room then. My daughter had it in her room, and it's gotten shuffled around and back and forth. And so I decided that I was going to paint this chest of drawers because it was starting to look kind of tattered, and use it in the kitchen to replace the small plastic unit that I had and to tidy things up for my sewing area. And so I did that this week, and it looks much neater in there. And so these are the things that I'm talking about. It's finding solutions to make things work for whatever space that you have. And sometimes you just have too much stuff and you got to get rid of it. That's just the bottom line. And sometimes you have to just reorganize. And I don't always think outside the box in setting up my house and organization. I often find that it's better for me to have somebody come and help me, because they can see things differently and they have better or different ideas of what can work for organization. And another thing that I just did this week also is I had several bookcases in my old house that were enough to space for my books to live in. And when I moved, I got rid of a whole bookshelf full of books. I didn't get rid of it. I gave them away to a colleague of mine who has a spiritual center for whoever came into her center could take a book for free. And so that I tithed it to the universe and gave those books to my colleague. And so I got rid of a lot of books, but I still have a lot of books. And being in the healer school, and actually I'm in 3 different school programs, I've had to bring in a lot of new books that are required reading for the programs that I'm in. So I'm once again in a place where I have too many books for the one small bookshelf that I have. And I was really fortunate a couple of days ago to be on this Facebook group that I belong to, and it's a swap group where people post things for inexpensive prices, or they post things for free and you have to go and pick them up, and it's often first come, first serve. So I just happened to see that this girl in town posted that she had four bookshelves for free. She was remodeling her house. And I thought, oh, that's just what I need. And Dave happened to be coming over. We had just spoken a few minutes before I saw the post. And so he has a truck and he got there. And I said, would you mind going to pick up some bookshelves with me? And he very generously said, yeah, let's go get them. So we went and got this bookshelf. We only ended up getting one because it was really big. And it looked like there were two that matched that were nicer. And what had happened was they were built-in bookshelves, and they cut them in half when they took them out. So the other half that they cut off were just pieces of plywood and shelving. And so it wasn't really that appeasing. It didn't have any nice features or anything. So the part that I took, the bottom half, or actually it's the top half, I think we figured out, has, you know, molding and it's nicely finished. So it just needs one little piece that must have gotten damaged or something when they took it out. So I just need one little piece replaced on it. And now I have this gorgeous, beautiful bookshelf where all my books are going to be able to live. I'm going to be able to get my notebooks and my school books off the floor, and I'm so happy about that. So if your space isn't working with what you have in it, and I'm going to sell the antique bookshelf. It's from the 1800s, and it has the date on the back of it, and I think it even has the name of the fellow who built it on the back of it. So I will be posting that on Craigslist and on Facebook for sale. So if you're looking for an antique bookshelf from the 1800s, contact me on Facebook. It might be your next bookshelf. So that being said, find ways to make your space work. There are lots of things out there for free. You just have to look and be open to maybe doing a little work to getting them into your space. So making choices every day, and the little choices, even if it's just to get your space organized or to make it more workable for you, reduces stress in your life. And when you have a life of that goes in harmony, like my card that I picked today, the Ten of Cups, and things are harmoniously flowing in your life, you just feel better. You feel better physically. You feel better mentally. You have more energy to get through your day. And you might even have some time or some mental space to have some fun in your life. When we take life too seriously, we get bogged down and our body creates stress hormones. And the stress hormones elevate blood pressure. They can elevate blood sugar. They can elevate, create problems with your liver. The stress hormones can create all kinds of things in your life. And they can, get ready for this, girls and guys, they can make you gain weight and keep weight on. Because the stress hormones are the fight and flight hormones. So back in the days when people didn't have enough food, their bodies would go into this high-level stress hormone state, and their metabolism would slow down, so they would store energy for the times were lean, and they did not have enough food, enough calorie intake. And that happens in our bodies now, even though the majority of us have more than enough food to eat, and especially particularly here in the United States, Most of us have more food than we ever need. And but the body connection is more than just the food that we put into our mouth and the calories that we consume. Because you can eat celery and still gain weight if your mind has active stress going on in it. And I've seen in my own life times that have been remarkable shifts where when I'm really clear and I'm in a good space, I can drop 30 pounds in 6 weeks, no problem. But when I'm feeling agitated or prickly and I'm focusing on the things that I don't have in my life that I want, guess what? I can go to bed and in the morning I can be 10 pounds heavier. And that is the honest to God's truth. It's happened to me over and over and over and over again. Now, when I come back to center through doing meditation or evaluation or just recognizing the crazy spin that's going on in my mind, that 10 pounds then just falls away without any dieting. So think about if that's going on in your life. And here we are coming to the end of another show. Only 2 minutes left. I can't believe it. And I keep thinking, first I thought, oh my God, 300 hours of radio time. What am I going to talk about in 300 hours? And here I have 180 hours complete, and I'm still talking. I love you all so very much, and I'm so very grateful for you all. I'm so grateful for your presence. I'm so grateful for your contributions when you call in, when you message me, when you friend me on Facebook. Go to my website, cynthiafontaine.com. Check out my line of all natural bath and body products, alchemyoftheearth.com. Like me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Send me a message and say, hey, love the show. Hey, let me know how I've helped you in some way. And also let me know what you would like to hear on shows in the future. I will do shows after the 30-day challenge. We'll get into things like working with crystals, and we'll get into more energy medicine things then. And I might throw a little bit of that in the next 12 days as well, because those are things that can benefit us and help us bust out and bust into your life. So this is Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, signing off. I love you all so much. Have a fabulous and blessed day. There's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think
and you lose yourself, you find.